I'm pulling away from the curb because I dropped my son off at college. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so today, I do interviews all the time, and there's a common question I get asked in interviews, which is, why is Magic such an amazing game? Like, what about it makes it such a good game? And so I've answered this question infinite times. And the reality is, there's not one answer. I think there's a mix of things. But anyway, I thought I would spend a whole podcast explaining, from my personal point of view, why Magic is an amazing game. Okay. Now, like I said, the reason the question is a tricky one to answer and why it's actually a good podcast topic is it's a complex answer. I think when Richard made Magic, he did a whole bunch of good things. First, let me talk a little bit about the Golden Trifecta, which I've talked about before, and I have podcasts on each of these topics. I think there's three genius ideas that Richard had when he created the game, so let's go walk through those very quickly. The idea of a trading card game, so the core of this is the idea that your game doesn't, that the players of your game don't need to be using the same resources. The idea that I can have a deck and you have a deck and our pieces are different. We don't need to be playing the same pieces. The idea that games don't have to have symmetry to them. Like, when we look at most games, the way the games are set up is people are treated pretty equally. You know, we're playing this game and, you know, I'll use Monopoly is always my go-to just because everyone knows Monopoly. Okay, well, I start with the same amount of money as everybody else. I mean, we each have our own little piece that represents us, but we each get our own little piece. And we start at the same point on the board. And the idea is what separates us is the luck of the rolling the dice and such, but not we begin with the same thing. Now, there are some games like Scrabble where there's different tiles and there's some randomization. And obviously with a deck of cards, there's some randomization. But the thing about those games is we are pulling from the same resource. Yeah, I might get different cards or letters or whatever than you, but we're pulling from the same source. That anything I could get, you could get. And Magic really said, I mean, Richard said with Magic, well, what if I have stuff you don't have? Maybe hypothetically you could have it in that you have access to it in the game, but when we start the game, I will have resources and things in my deck that you do not have in your deck. And that the idea that each person, like, really what Richard came to was trading cards are this cool thing. Forget the game part of it. It's like, oh, well, I like this thing, whatever this thing, whatever the topic is, baseball, movies, whatever, and there are these various cards representing that thing that I can collect. It's fun to collect, but it's randomized. I don't know what I'm getting. And Richard realized that that concept, that idea, just lent itself toward a game. And he built it. Another thing I talk about is the color pie. If you regular listeners know, the color pie to me is the most amazing thing about the game, personally. Just the thing that excites me the most. The idea that your game has an ethos built into it, that different components of your game, they're not, the colors like have philosophies and they mean something and they represent something and that you can see yourself in them. The idea that we can combine colors to make guilds or shards or wedges or whatever, that each has its own feel, it gives the game this real weight to it, the psychological weight that I think is important. And third, the mana system. The way the game actually works, the way that he created the system, because one of the big challenges of a trading card game is, and I've talked about this, how do you make it such that you just don't play the most broken pieces? What Richard called the queen problem. I'm playing chess where I get to pick my own pieces. Why am I playing one king and 15 queens? Why would I play a bishop or a rook? Why would I play a pawn? Like, why am I playing cards that just aren't as powerful? And the answer, the solution, a big part of the solution, part of it was the color pie, but another part was the idea that cards have different value at different times because of the mana system and the way that lands work. And the funny thing about the thing, and I have a whole podcast on this, is that a lot of people look at sort of the downside of the mana system, which is that, you know, you can get color screwed or land screwed. I mean, like, games can go poorly just because you get a bad mix of things. But I think what people really miss is how much excitement, you know, it's kind of like, look at all the exhaust in the air, cars suck. It's like, well, cars do a lot of good. I'm not saying there aren't downside to cars, but looking at cars only through their downside, you really miss the value of cars. Like, we as a society are quite different because of the existence of cars. And yes, there are downsides of cars, there are offshoots of cars, but the man system is the same way for me. There's a lot of game designers that I know who have, like, tried to fix the mana system only to come back and really understand it. Like, once you try to... Like, I made Duel Masters or co-made Duel Masters, and it wasn't until I made a game where I tried to fix the mana system that I truly appreciated the mana system. Okay, those are the golden trifecta. I've often talked about those, but I want to talk about a few other things. So another thing that can't be undersold, and this was an important one, is, and this is true for any game, Magic has a brilliant business model. One of the reasons Magic has been so successful is that, you know, the idea that I'm going to build a game and that game's going to keep building pieces and you, the player, get it invested as you want. And that this, like, one of the things that when you design games, I did an article a long time ago, 10 things every game needs. And my last thing was, I called it a hook. But what I meant is, there is something about your game that has to sell the game. And now it doesn't have to sell the game. The other thing that you want is a system by which, if you sell the game, it can be profitable. And Magic, I mean, now given, Richard built it on trading cards have an amazing business model. So, I mean, he built it on, he turned something with a good business model into a game. So, but that's another really important part. The idea that, like, one of the reasons Magic is so amazing is it can generate so much money that we can hire a giant, giant R&D staff. Or not just R&D, a giant staff. I mean, part of the reason Magic is so good is, you know, hey, the Magic mechanics are great because we have a really, really good team that has a lot of time and a lot of energy. I remember I worked on some other games where I had, like, a month to design the game. That's not Magic. I have years to design the game, and I have lots of people working with me, and, you know, we have a top-notch R&D team because of that. We have a top-notch art team and creative team and, like, all the different component pieces. The reason Magic is at the top of its game is the idea that the business model, the game makes enough money that we really can pour a lot of money into it. And we have resources not a lot of games have. Because you've got to make a lot of money to get the kind of resources we do. So the business model is really important. Another really important part of the game is... I think Richard understood the idea of different people had different things. But there is there's a thing called ego investment. And what that means is humans like to feel good about themselves, right? And so ego investment means you are doing something in which you can see your own fingerprints on what you're doing so that when the thing you're doing does well, you feel proud of yourself. And that's a big part of Magic. A Magic deck is a very personal thing. It is not, I mean, given you can buy a pre-constructed deck or whatever, but a lot of decks is I take the deck and I put it together. I make all the choices. And then I play it and I make decisions based on how it plays. And I constantly tweak my deck. So there's this ownership that comes from a Magic deck that's not found in a lot of games. Dungeons & Dragons role-playing is a good example that also has this. I build my character, and the character is my creation that I made, and when I'm successful, I made that character. And in Magic, I made that deck. And the ego investment, the idea that I can play, and when I win, I don't just feel good about the game or feel good about my skills. I just feel good about me because in some ways, the deck winning is showing me, you know, in a way that's very powerful. The other thing that's really, one of the things you'll realize today as I talk for half an hour is there's endless things about Magic that are really amazing. And the fact that they're all together, I'll get to that at the end. Okay, the other big thing is, or one of the other big things is, there's a thing that... Justin Gary, a former pro player, he's a game designer. He made Ascension, and he's made a whole bunch of games, Soulforge. And and I'm not sure whether the terminology is from him or from Richard Garfield. So one of the two of them coined this. They call it your radioactive spider bite, making reference to Spider-Man. The idea is, what game was it that just infected you with a love for games? Like, I know when I studied film in film school, there's the same concept for film. Like, what film made you fall in love with films? Like, Star Wars is a really big example. And in games, the two ones that get sort of talked about the most are Dungeons & Dragons and Magic. Why? Because those are the two games that really, more than any other game, make you, the game player, a game designer. That if I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons, especially if I'm a DM, but even if I'm just playing a character, I get to craft the character, I get to craft the campaign, or I get to craft the experience, that it's giving you the tools, and the game gives you the tools, but you have so much ability to craft what it is. Like Magic, for example, is a game, but Magic is a game, like not only do people craft their own decks, people craft their own formats. People craft, you know, Magic really allows people so much freedom to shape what it is they want it to be. And that one of the cool things about the history of Magic is Magic keeps shaping what it is. It keeps evolving. You know, in a way, in a lot of ways, like I often think of Magic as kind of a living, breathing thing. And I mean, it's shaped by the community as a whole, but the point is, it just keeps evolving and it keeps turning into the thing that people need it to be. That people use it a certain way, and as we, the makers of the game, see people using it that way, we lean into that. And that's one of the cool things about the history of Magic is, and the game is flexible enough to be that. The game is flexible enough that it can adapt to what it wants to be. And that's another big thing. So another big quality is, it is a game that we constantly make, and have constantly made for over 30 years. Not a lot of games last 30 years. You know, if you go look in the just in a game store at games on the shelf, the number of games on the shelf that 30 years ago existed is not that large. And most games, once they get made, do not last 30 years. You know, there's some classics, obviously. But the idea that a game not only lasts 30 years, but we are still making content. In fact, more content. We are making regular content and have been every day for 30 years. And what the reason that's important is, I talk a lot about iteration, right? Well, one of the ways that you improve games is iteration, and that's within designing the game itself. But the very nature of the game itself gets iterated. I talk about the flux of the game. And that part of that is we, the game designers, design things, we get a lot of feedback, and then we take that feedback and change future design. Malcolm Gladwell did a book, what was it called, Outliers? Talking about how someone gets good at something. And basically, it was like, what you need is 10,000 hours with lots of feedback. Meaning, just the way you get really good at something is just doing it a lot, doing it in a way that somebody's giving you feedback on it, and adjusting to the feedback. And the reality is, Magic has got its 10,000 hours plus. Way, way, way past that. A lot of the cool things about Magic is it's just evolving at a pretty fast rate, meaning it has the business model to allow a really good R&D team, and it has the system by which we keep making more of it, so we keep getting iterate on it, and we have a great feedback system with the audience because it's a very large audience, and B, part of it is the nature of the day, the internet and stuff, but we have a lot of connection to our fan base. If our players believe something, we have a lot of connection with them and we hear that. And like I said, part of that is Magic has always been very outreaching. I had a big hand of just, we spend a lot of time and energy, me especially, like communicating what we're doing and what we're up to and sharing vocabulary with our audience and just doing a lot of things so that our vocabulary is very knowledgeable of the game itself. So that they have a lot of, they can recognize what they like and not like and give feedback. And I think that's another big part of why Magic, one of the great elements of Magic is, you know, when Magic first came out, I think it was a really great game. But you know what? It's a lot better. And this is not remotely a knock against Richard. It's just, we've spent 30 years, a lot of great minds, including Richard, has spent 30 years just figuring out how to improve upon things. And so we've learned a lot. And there's a lot of things in the early days. It's funny. One of the things I always talk about is when you look at, like, pick cars. Like, when you look at the Model T, in a modern-day perspective, it seems kind of quaint. But there's a lot of things that the Model T did right, and a lot of things were built off the Model T that ended up where you get modern cars today, you know. And that I look back at old designs and I shudder sometimes at lessons we hadn't learned yet, but I now realize that we did learn them and they led us to figuring those things out. And so that's another giant part of magic, is the fact that it's just constantly evolving with a lot of insight. You know, like we are sort of primed for the sort of the outliers. Like, we constantly do things. We constantly get feedback. We constantly make more things. And so the game keeps evolving like that. Another big thing that I think makes magic magic is the art. Magic has, and this was, I mean, in the very, very beginning, when the design story of magic is Richard and his friend Mike Davis come to pitch Robo Rally to Peter Atkinson for Wizards to make. Wizards is too small a company, can't handle Robo Rally. The component pieces are just too much. But he says, hey, I got a printer in Belgium, Cartamundi. I know a school of artists. You know what I can make? Cards. And that's got Richard down the path of trading cards and such. But one of the things that Magic had very early on is there's something, having a strong visual component is a big part of the game. And there's something very personal about art. And the fact that Magic, from its beginning, like from the very nature, from ground one, was able to have art. Like, one of the things about Magic cards, when you first look at a Magic card, for 99% of the people, it's the art that grabs you when you first look at it. And just like we've evolved and we've iterated on the mechanics of Magic, we've done so on the creative of Magic. Art has had iteration, just world building, card concepting, names and flavor text, and that there's a lot of component pieces going on. And that another thing that makes Magic really exciting is that when you see just a single card, there's a world it sucks you into, you know, and that is exciting. And so I think one of the big things, another big thing that just makes Magic magic, is the fact that the very nature of design allows the art to play such a large role. And we've leaned into that, I mean, with booster fun, stuff like that. I mean, right now, I mean, there's never been more time where if you like a card, especially one that's popular, that, hey, there's lots of opportunities for different things. We can get all sorts of artists and do different things. There's just so many different visuals we can do. Another thing about Magic is its adaptability. It is a robust game system. One of the things that happened early on, and I'll admit, if you had talked to me back in 1995, when I first came to work at Wizards, and you said to me, how many years of design is there in Magic? I think I would have said, you know, many tens, you know, 30, 40. But I'm not sure if I even understood then what I know now, which is humanity will die out before Magic runs out of things it can do. There is so much. I mean, now, I'm not saying, I mean, we eat through the simple stuff. So definitely there's the issue of, but the one thing about Magic is, there's no reason we can't just do things we've done before. And a lot of modern Magic design is saying, hey, we have all these tools. Like, one of the things about doing Magic design is there's a lot of craftsmanship to it. And the reason is, we've made so many tools over the years, so many mechanics, so many, like, one of the things that's really interesting is, when somebody pitches a new idea, it's almost seen in of elements we've done before. Like, it's almost impossible to come up with something nowadays and go, we've never even thought of that before. Maybe we haven't made it yet. There's a lot of ideas where I go, oh, we've tried that but haven't found the right way to do it yet. But we've probably tried it just because we spent 30 years doing this. And Magic as a game system is so, so, so robust. There's so much there. And part of it is we've spent a lot of time and energy, like, figuring out how, like, Richard made a system that, like, he made it to be open-ended, but we spent a lot of time adapting things. Like me personally, spent a lot of time on the color pie, and that there's really cool core ideas to the color pie, but trying to figure out, okay, we want to make a game, what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, what can blue or white or green, you know, and we have a whole council of colors now. We have an entire team whose job it is to monitor this very complex system to make sure that we are staying true to it. And that is just true on many levels, just on the costing system, on just different mechanics. Like, there's just so many elements we have access to, and that Magic is super robust. And for example, Universes Beyond. One of the reasons Universes Beyond has proven so successful is Magic as creative paint. as a way to capture something. It's really good. Like, one of the things I'm constantly amazed by doing Universes Beyond Design is, okay, we're trying to capture this thing. The thing we're trying to capture is locked. We can't change what it is. It is what it is. And how magic is so good at finding ways to capture things in very, very clever ways. For example, this is not Universes Beyond. This is normal magic. But I'll just give one example of, like, the genius that magic can be. I remember I was making a holiday card, which was called Snow Mercy, which was a take on the card No Mercy. And the card No Mercy shows the Phyrexians in a time bubble. So because we were trying to make a cutesy holiday card, we put them in a snow globe. Because it was called Snow Mercy, and they were in a snow globe. And then we realized, I think Matt Tabak came up with this, the idea that the activation costs, we have tap symbol, but we also at one point made an untap symbol. And so the activation cost is tap, untap, tap, untap. I mean, you're shaking it. Oh my God! Like, until we put those pieces together that say, oh, we can combine the tap and the untap symbol to shake something. Just the idea that magic has those moments, that you can do things like that. The robustness, that's another big thing. The idea that magic, part of the way we approach new magic sets is, let's try to do something we've never done and see what magic does with that. It's really intriguing. I love saying, okay, how does magic represent this thing? How do they represent that thing? And it's really neat because magic is so flexible that it can do it. And I'm not saying it can do everything. There's things, you know, some areas are harder than others. But the robust system of the mechanics and what it's capable and how flexible it can be is a huge part of it. Another big part of magic is the community. That one of the things that's really amazing about magic, like, it is fun. If you've never been to a magic con, I recommend going to a magic con. One of the amazing things about going to a magic con is you have so many different people that all love magic, and there's a main community, there's sub-communities, there's, like, magic has permeated itself, like, one of the things that makes me very proud to work on magic is I like to say how many friendships were formed because of magic. How many relationships were formed because of magic. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of the things I get all the time is people writing to me and sharing what magic meant to them. And that, I mean, the endless stories of I met my best friend, I met my romantic partner, I discovered something important about myself. It led me to a job. You know, it taught me skills that proved to be important. I mean, there are a number of people, for example, who... Like, I remember Chris Bakula is a pro player. And I remember he went somewhere where he was working on, financial things. And his employers were so happy that he was a professional magic player because it represented all these skills that he had that were exactly what they needed for the job. And this idea that, you know, Chris spent years as a professional magic player and then a job that had nothing to do with magic per se. I mean, it wasn't a game. But the idea that the skills he had in magic, that his employer was so impressed by it, that he's like, do you know other pro players? Can you find me other players that have this skill set that you have? And that magic, the community of magic and the means that magic, what it's been able to do, hearing from people. So I guess these are two different things. One is the community. The idea of all these people coming together and sharing, and there's so many creative videos, and there's just, magic has inspired so much creativity, not in the making of it, I mean that too, but in the expression of it, in the playing of it, in the talking about it. And the other thing is, I think magic has imbued in people these set of skills that have proven to be life-affirming, life-important skills. And so many people are like, hey, I was playing magic. I mean, I think this is true of games in general. I think games teach a lot of important skills. But magic in general, I mean, the number of times, I mean, teachers coming to me and saying, you know, or people conveying, parents conveying, how teachers came to them saying, your child's improved in reading or socially or something. Like, why? What happened? And like, oh, it was magic. So there is that community aspect. There is the skill input. Like, there's so many cool things within magic that you can learn. There's a lot of skills that you can learn. Oh, another thing that I... Here, how about this? I'm 25 minutes in. 25 minutes in, and I haven't said this. It's a really, really good game. It is a fun, fun game. I am a game connoisseur. I played lots and lots and lots of games. And Magic is my number one game. Not even close. Now, I mean, the caveat is, okay, I might have spent my life in Magic, so... I mean, Magic is meant to me a lot personally. On some level, I mean, this ties back to what I'm just saying, is, okay, Magic gave me my dream job. I met my wife. I met many of my friends. And, like, you know, Magic sort of was this touch point for me. And I always talk about, we talk about this in R&D, that we believe Magic is a force of good. And that it just does so much good in the world. And part of our job is overseeing that force of good. Anyway, sorry. But beyond that, just the actual playing of a game, acts the game. Forget all the other component pieces. Just as a game, just as I'm playing this game, how fun is this game? Holy moly, Magic is a fun game. I mean, there's so many stories, you know, be it gaining 55,000 life when I was showing off a preview card at a world championship, just playing a game, the idea that I randomly do something that is unthinkable, but I happen to be there and do it. Or there's just endless stories. Like, one of the things I talk about is a concept I call narrative equity. And the idea of narrative equity is people value stories. People value, like, the idea that something can happen to me and that's so enjoyable or such an interesting thing that happened that for the rest of my life I can share the story of what happened, that has a lot of weight and importance to people. And Magic is dripping with narrative equity. Like, I have so many stories of just stories of, here are Magic games I played. Maybe one day I should do that as a podcast. Here are Magic games I played. Just tell stories of Magic games I played. But the fact that I can do that is another great selling point. But anyway, so I keep trying to talk about how awesome a game Magic is just as a game, and I keep getting pulled off, which is an interesting tell on itself. But just literally as the act of playing as a game, it is robust. It is flexible from how you can play it. So, like, for example, last year at the MagicCon, I played in Game Nights Live. One of my favorite memories, playing Commander. And I'm not even the biggest Commander fan, but you know what? That experience was amazing. And playing Commander in front of 1,500 screaming people, you know, running around and gaining, whatever it was, 78 life, high-fiving people. I mean, it was really, I mean, Magic is just super fun. Anyway, I'm wrapping up here. So I think that the thing that's amazing is everything I said today, everything is true. It's a game in flux. It's super amazing. It's fun to play. It's got amazing creative. It has an awesome community. It keeps evolving and it's got a great business model, so we have a great R&D team and great art team, and we can keep making it even better. And, you know, there's 30 years of evolution, and it's got the color pie and the mana system and just trading card games. I mean, all of it, ego investment, like all of that. Like, that's the amazing thing about Magic is that many of these concepts that I'm talking about today, I can and have spent an entire podcast. I've spent... The color pie as an example. I've probably spent 20 podcasts, maybe more than that. Each of these items, I could go on for a long time talking about the element of it. And that's the amazing thing about Magic, that it's all these things, that it's not just one thing. It's not just an amazing business model. It's not just an amazing community. It's not just an amazing game. It's not just an amazing color pie. Like, it's all these things together, and that it comes together to make truly something amazing. Like, one of the things, like, as you get older in life, you have a tendency to want to look back at your life, and you want to sort of say, what have I done? What have I done with my life? You know, what role did I play? And part of it is, you look personally, like, oh, I found this person, and we got married, and we had a family, and there's a lot of personal, which great joy for me. But from a professional standpoint, one of the things that makes me very proud is, look, I had a giant hand in Magic. I was not alone. There was thousands of other people that did this with me. And millions of people out there playing the game and giving us feedback. But just the fact that I had the influence I've had on Magic, it makes me super happy. It makes me feel like it's a life well lived. You know, I've done something that I'm super, super proud of. And a lot of that is I'm really proud of what Magic is and what Magic can be and what Magic can do. And the fact that I've had a hand in that, you know, that's a life well lived. So anyway, why is Magic a great game? All these reasons is a great game. And you know what? There's things I didn't hit upon. 30 minutes was not enough. So there's lots of other factors. I hit upon the main points. But anyway, guys, that's my topic today. Why is Magic a great game? For so, so many reasons. And it was fun today. It was fun sharing that with you. And I hope you guys appreciate at least some of the things that I appreciate. But anyway, that is my answer in long-winded 30-minute form of why Magic is a great game. But I'm now at work, and we all know what that means. That instead of talking Magic, which is super fun, I have to make Magic, which is also super fun. So I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.